for having my message a little bit unorganized. And when my messages are unorganized, it always takes me longer to preach them. And so I'm going to try and be brief here today. We'll hopefully get through on time. But I want to go ahead and go through a dozen Thanksgiving verses. And usually I preach one or two or three points. Today I'm going to go through 12 again. So we're going to do a whole dozen again of these. And boy, God is good. And as we enter this week of Thanksgiving, boy, we ought to be praising the Lord. First off, I want to praise the Lord that I was born in a country that has a national day of Thanksgiving. I don't know of any other country that does. This country alone, again, is one that has proclaimed by our presidents, again, a national day of Thanksgiving. And in these past few years, I'm not very pleased with what our current presidents have done to that day. But we still have a day of national, a day of Thanksgiving to God. Some of them tried to change it to the deity of your choice, but again, we're giving Thanksgiving to God. And if you're here and you're a born-again Christian, after last week's message, you're giving to thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, again. And we want to be a thankful people. And so let's go ahead and look at this, these 12 Thanksgivings that are found in the Bible. And again, I wanted to get all 12 of them again for fear of leaving off something that God has for us in our Thanksgiving this week. And so let's open our Bibles to beginning to Psalm chapter 26. As you can guess, again, quite a few of these Thanksgivings are again listed in Psalms. And so let's go ahead and begin with Psalm and chapter 26. If we would, and let's stand again for the reading of God's Word. You follow along in the Bible as I would read this psalm of thanksgiving. And I'm going to read all the way down to, I think, verse 7 probably will suffice to get all of our thanksgiving out of this. Psalms 26, the Word of God says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord." I want to point out again that these Lords that are mentioned are all capital letters. That's speaking the personal, private name of God, Jehovah God in the English. "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works." Father, praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you again for the thanksgiving that's recorded here. Help us again, even in these 12 verses, to draw out some traits of thanksgiving that would change our behavior this week and cause again that thanksgiving would be all over our lives. And our testimony and our witness and our families. Thank you for each one that's gathered here to worship. And pray now that you touch our week, even with your words. Cause that our faith would increase, you promised. Cause again that you'd accept our worship in this hour and our praise, our sacrifice of thanksgiving in the name of Christ. Amen. You may be seated. This introduction, again, of thanksgiving is found as the first occurrence in your Bible of that word, thanksgiving. I like to watch for first occurrences of the word, of any word, again, as we do a study. And boy, put it down, God does too. The first occurrence of a word in His precious book is important. And so here, notice again, we have some traits about thanksgiving. Notice again that it first cries out for the integrity of the psalmist. This was written by David. And again, the psalmist cries out about his own integrity. He says again that he is has trusted in the Lord. Again, he's not sliding. We heard in Sunday school some sliding that David did do. But here again, he's mentioned again his integrity, his stand before the Lord. And notice again, he still cries out for God's loving kindness in verse 3. And then in verse 4, he said, or 5, he says this, I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Anybody can run through their mind real quickly. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. A good thing about an introduction is that it covers the meat of the whole subject. And Psalms 1 has an introduction, actually is an introduction to the whole subject. And notice here is a second mention of where he's sitting, more particularly where he is not sitting, okay? Boy, again, we need to pay attention to where we are sitting, where we are behaving, our integrity before the Lord. And then still, in verse 6, it says this, before we get to the thanksgiving, it says this, I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. Two things there. Number one is to wash our hands in innocency. I praise the Lord that as we study our Bible, we find again that there's different, what we call dispensations, actually what the Bible calls dispensations, where man has a relationship with God based on a period of time, for a set of rules for a period of time. And one of those, the most precious again, is in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve had a relationship with God, where he in the cool of the day would come down and fellowship with them. Can you imagine fellowshipping with God in the cool of the day? Yes, you can if you're a born-again believer, because you can do that today through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have that same fellowship. Listen. We can have that same innocency that Adam and Eve had before a holy God, because of what Jesus Christ did for us. And what a tremendous thing that we can wash our hands in innocency, and we can again go to Him in prayer and have every sin forgiven and be perfectly innocent before God. Wow, that's a good state. That ought to give some thanksgiving right there in your heart that we have that ability. And so it goes on that says, I will compass thine altar. We'll look at a couple of these Thanksgivings, but there's a back to Bethel Thanksgiving as well. And remember what happened at Bethel. Abram built an altar under God at Bethel called the House of God. And so, again, we can have an altar before God. And notice the innocency and the altar are contrasted just a little bit. That if we have a perfect innocency, there was a brazen altar. And there was an altar of incense in the temple. And we can again include an altar where we come before God and worship Him, even though He is our best friend, just the same. And then, if we get to verse 7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. And praise the Lord, you watch for the times that you have a voice of thanksgiving. That means you say it out loud, okay? I'm not talking singing in the shower kind of out loud. I'm talking about out there where people will hear you, that you can again have a voice of thanksgiving. If there's ever a week it ought to be easy to do that, it ought to be this week, okay? And so let's go ahead and practice that publishing with a voice of thanksgiving. And then notice what it says, and tell of all thy wondrous works. God is good. And God is good to us. And it was said during Sunday school, and I'll bring it up again, that if you're ever feeling woe is me again, when you're down in the mully grubs, you just look around. There's somebody again who's in a lot worse shape than you are. I was reading through the book of Thessalonians again. And Paul, there's a church again in Thessalonica where they're under great persecutions. Families have been ripped out of their church and put to death by the Roman government. And Paul says, pray for other churches because they're going through persecution. Isn't that curious? That he advises this church who's gone through probably the worst of all persecutions to pray for others because they're going through some persecutions. And so, boy, we want to do that. We want to, again, be a people of thanksgiving and tell of all God's wondrous works in our thanksgiving. I can't camp too long at any one of these. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 50. Psalm chapter 50, just over a couple pages. In Psalm chapter 50, let's begin in verse 12 again. It's in the context of this thanksgiving. I hope, again, you've got each one of these underlined in your Bible. I can say that, even though I don't in my new Bible. I do have them underlined and circled in my old Bible, but this one's here is 10 years in, and I still haven't got these underlined, so forgive me. But get these underlined in your Bible. 12 thanksgivings. There's only 12 of them listed in the whole Bible, and that's a significant number. And here's the second one, Psalm chapter 50. Look with me down at verse 12. This is God speaking. I always love this verse. I was always curious about it, but I loved it just the same. So watch this verse. It says, this is God speaking. He says, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Boy, again, we want to give thanks to God for his deliverance. And if you can't think of a time when you were delivered by God, then step back and kick yourself once again until it comes to mind, because all of us here have been delivered by God. If you're a born-again Christian, you've been delivered from what you deserve to get. And that's a permanent residence in hell for all of eternity. But by his mercy, that's not when we don't get what we do deserve. And by his grace, that's when we get what we don't deserve. He's given us instead a permanent residence in heaven with him. Boy, praise the Lord for his deliverance here. And notice again that God has no need of what we have. But God still is glorified in our thanksgiving. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows to the Most High. What is that paying of vows? We find again that that has to do with a sacrifice that is made. God made again, Israel makes some promises about the sacrifices that they were made. And whenever you see this paying of vows, understand that it's the people of Israel bringing a sacrifice unto their God. And remember what David said here too, that shall I offer unto God a sacrifice that costs me nothing? Boy, again, understand that we have an ability to praise him. We have been delivered. We're not under law of blood of goats and the sacrifice of rams. We, again, are under God's grace. Boy, we want to praise him for the deliverance we have. Psalm chapter 50. Turn over a couple more pages. Psalm 95. If you're keeping count, I think I'm up to three. Psalm 95. I'll never do this. I did three in 15 minutes. So, and look at verse 1 through 3. Psalm 95, verse 1 through 3. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great king above all gods. Boy, we ought to sing with a new voice. We ought to have in our heart psalms, spiritual songs and hymns, the Bible says. And that's a good repertoire of things that ought to be coming out of our mouth, not just on Sunday morning in our struggling to have a music ministry here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, but also, again, all through the week we ought to have a new song in our heart. The Bible says we should sing and give praises. I don't care if you can't carry a tune in a bucket, okay? You can still make a joyful noise unto the Lord. God said so again. And so we need to learn. We need to practice this psalm. And in our thanksgiving, have a song in our heart. I remember at the Rices, we always gathered with all the other Rices and kin of all all flavors again at the Rice House and had a great big Thanksgiving dinner. And my dad would try different things again. And one time he read, remember that psalm we read last week where his mercy endureth forever? We've read that whole psalm before. So we're sitting there at the table and the turkey's getting cold and the mashed potatoes are starting to stick. And we're reading this whole great big psalm. One time again, he tried to have us sing one of them songs we sang this morning again. That last one we sung. We're gathered together to ask the Lord's blessing. And so the Rices didn't have a lot of talented singers, as you could guess. And so I still remember some of those. Those were precious. And again, we ought to have a song in our heart. And we ought to, again, go ahead and sing. Beverly and I used to, back when we was young. I don't know if I should keep saying that or not. We used to have a song in our Bible study. Remember we did that for a while? Every time we had Bible study, especially with the kids there, we'd get the guitar out and we'd sing a song every day during our Bible study. We'd sing a song and then have a word of prayer and dismiss into our day. We haven't done that in a while again. Probably we need to dust off my old second-hand guitar there at home and start lifting up a song. But a song ought to be part of our repertoire of praise. And this week, it ought to be a part of our repertoire of thanksgiving. Let's put it there. And remember, this psalm will help you get there. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. There's that joyful noise psalm. Psalm 100. And again, Psalm 100 is a short one. Let's read the whole thing. You watch for the Thanksgiving, and again, you're learning again already to put an outline around what the Thanksgiving is included here. Psalm 100, 5 verses, the Bible says, isn't it a coincidence? It starts out just like our last psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, notice all caps, He is God, notice the official title. It is He that hath made us. We don't believe an ounce of evolution around here, by the way. We believe in the creation account. And not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And under the courts with praise, be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. I'd point out one thing out of that great psalm, and that is that we are enter into His presence. We're to go into His gate. And then I would mention probably also, that wide is the gate, and broad is the path that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth into life, and few there be that go in thereat. Labor ye therefore to go in the straight gate. And certainly that's true for salvation. But you know, it's true for Him for worship, for standing in His presence as well. God's pretty narrow. And here again, we see that if we're going to give thanksgiving, it's good to go through that narrow gate and stand in His presence and then give thanks that we could even do that. I didn't number these, but let's go up to Isaiah 51. I think there was 4 in Psalms, so this would be number 5. Isaiah chapter 51. And as we look again at this thanksgiving, as it's sown throughout the Scriptures again, I believe it captures several avenues, several aspects of our thanksgiving. And I like this one. Because we've just come out of our hunt for their last October prophecy conference to look again at the fact that God is going to set up a kingdom. There will be 12 tribes, put back together, there will be the city of Jerusalem occupied by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He will reign, just like he said, for 1,000 years. God hath not forgotten his people, Israel. And here we have Isaiah in chapter 51. And look with me at verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. And when we watch the news, you notice again that right at the temple, at the Temple Mount, they killed a bunch of Orthodox Jews that were praying. Actually killed them during their prayer time. And so, again, understand that the hatred for God's chosen people, Israel, is growing. And our own nation right now has started to change sides, again, with our current president, to even call Israel occupiers, to understand that, hey, that isn't their promised land. God says it is their promised land. Amen. And I don't care what our president or our nation decrees. Amen. Again, God says that is his promised land. Amen. God says Jerusalem does belong entirely to the Jews. God says that they are not settlers in the Jerusalem. They are not occupiers in Jerusalem. They own that land. God gave it to them. That is promised land. That's enough politics. Look at this verse again. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. This is Israel put back into the Holy Land. I don't care what Rome says about it. Boy, again, understand God has made it pretty clear that he's going to keep his promise to Israel. He will put them back in the land. I like that Thanksgiving psalm right there. Keep going. Let's look at Amos. Good luck finding Amos. It's somewhere in the Bible. It's one of those minor prophets again. And if I got my facts right, it's someplace after Daniel. Hosea, Joel, and Amos. Okay, and let's look together at chapter 4, Amos chapter 4. If you've got my favorite Scofield Bible, it's on page 936. Amos chapter 4, look with me at verses 4 and 5. Come to Bethel. I already mentioned what Bethel was. Bethel again, remember an old scoundrel called the trickster, his name was Jacob. And he left off of his brother and fled to another land. And he pillowed his head at a place. And that place was called Bethel. Okay, and he figured out. And that was the same place, by the way, that Abraham, when he first came into the land, he built an altar at Bethel. And Bethel means the house, Beth, of God, El. Bethel, the house of God. That's where God dwells. And that's what Jacob said. And so let's go to the house of God. It says in this precious verse, come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. And bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. And proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And again, as we look at this thanksgiving, notice that it is fake. As we look at this chapter, notice again, Amos is giving them warning that you're going on in your religion services. You're going on and you're doing this stuff religiously, but it's empty. There's still transgression. There's things, again, that you haven't got right. And listen, pay attention. We can offer the same type of thanksgiving. If it's not out of a pure heart, if it's not a pure religion and undefiled, boy, again, notice that here we have a thanksgiving that's given in mockery to God. And so here in Amos, let's make sure we don't fit into that verse, okay? Let's make sure our thanksgiving is sincere, it is real. It is a thanksgiving of innocency that we read before. And so here again, there's still transgression, there's still things wrong. And even though they came to Bethel, even though they went to church, let's say it that way, their heart was not right. And so let's make sure our heart is right. And coming to Bethel is a religious act. Coming into his presence is a Christ-like act. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. We must move on. Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and chapter 4. If you happen to zoom by Colossians on your way, hold your hand there. We're headed there next. Philippians chapter 4. And look with me. Let's pick up in verse 5 and 6. All of these thanksgivings come with a precursor of some sort that we need to frame into our lives. And this one says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Boy, again, when we have thanksgiving, it's good to have thanksgiving, but it's good also to recognize that our prayer requests need to be bathed in thanksgiving. When we pray for something, let's make sure it's bathed. And here it is. Notice we got a prayer and our supplications. That's begging. That's bigger than praying. Praying is asking. But supplications is begging or repeating and repeating a prayer. And let it be bathed, it says here, with thanksgiving. Certainly there's things that we want of God. There's things that we're lacking of God. And we have prayer requests that we lift to Him, that we could again put our petitions before Him. He's established that we do that. But again, along with all of that comes a heart filled with thanksgiving for what He has already given us, for what we already have. Colossians chapter 4. And look with me at verse 2. Kind of following the same theme as the previous, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I think I mentioned it last week that we are to pray without ceasing. That's one of the three perpetuals that ought to be in our life. And again, as we look at that, here it is again, continue in prayer. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. Ever since we preached on the rapture around here, whenever we see sun rays, I don't know if you watch this, but I see sun rays coming down. I saw them again this week. And Beverly said, whoa, look at that. That's the Lord's coming soon. Every time we see sun rays coming down, that's what we think of. And that's this word here, to watch, is that we would remember that, hey, we're only sojourners here for a little while, and then we're going to be gone in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the sound of that last trumpet, we're going to be gone from here. And so keep our perspective right, that we're just sojourning here for a little while. Don't put down roots here. We're not of this world. We're strangers in this world. And we're going to be a moving on real soon. Therefore, watch. Think of all the times Jesus said, I've left you here as stewards, and I'm going to come back. And when I come back, you're going to give an account for your stewardship. So again, we want to be watching. We want to be doing that in prayer continually, but also in thanksgiving. Giving thanks perpetually, continually unto the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul writes to a young preacher boy named Timothy. He gives them several charges. And then he writes him a second epistle to Timothy of encouragement in all of those charges that he just gave. And so look with me at 2 Timothy and chapter 4. What is it? How'd you know that?
I haven't met
tell me where I'm going here. Okay. Chris, keep me in line here. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4. I kept reading that verse and said, that ain't what it said last time I was there. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. He's given again a charge here to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. He's writing to a young preacher boy. And here's what he charges him. In chapter 4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. If God didn't want us to eat animals, he wouldn't have made them out of meat. Okay? So notice here again that there's going to be those for religious purposes that have all this set of rules, but God says again that whatsoever you eat in thanksgiving, it's good. Remember Peter who had a dream before he went down to Cornelius? And God lowered down a sheet and it had all kinds of what he called unclean things in it. And Peter said, whoa, I can't eat any of those things because I wouldn't eat anything that's unclean. And God said to Peter, remember what he said? What I have cleansed, call thou not unclean. And so, praise the Lord, you don't have to eat rattlesnake meat for Thanksgiving this year again. Our traditional turkeys are still around. But listen, it doesn't matter. Again, God said that what he has blessed is good for you to eat. And here again, we have a charge given to a young preacher boy that don't be getting caught up in the vegetarian cycles. Don't be getting caught up in all that. The world, again, that has all these concerns. Listen, you could not eat as much red meat as Aaron and the Aaronic priesthood ate every day. And so there's nothing wrong with red meat. While I'm on the subject, there's nothing wrong with salt. The Bible says it's good again. So we have all these New England Journals of Medicine and all these doctors that read all these things and say, oh, don't do this and don't do that. And listen, 99.9% of it is marketing. Boy, you and I need to be careful again to pay attention that God has control. We're not what we eat nor what we wear. Remember those verses that we just read in Luke. So again, notice here. That again, there's going to be those that forbid this and forbid that. Again, understand that every creature of God is good, verse 4, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. And so we practice that again. Beverly and I went to Peru. We also ate some meals in Haiti where we said, I'm not sure we want to eat that again. But again, we remembered this verse and we did it with thanksgiving. God can fix anything. So again, have it with thanksgiving at our meals. There's a verse that Jesus said, told his disciples, and the context, I think, is that you say, you pray to God before each meal. But again, I think what Jesus said, as often as you do this, my father-in-law always said, watch this person. He can't bend his elbow, but when his mouth opens, okay? And so that's what happens every time you bend your elbow. Your mouth pops open again. And so as often as you do this again, think of me. Those are the words of Jesus. And he's talking again about giving thanks for our food. As often as you do this, as often as you bend that elbow, we ought to be a thankful people, giving thanks again for the bounty that we have. And certainly that is, again, a priority even in this week for the bounty that we have. So we got all the way down through 9 of these. Let's do number 10. I won't take you to number 10 because I can't pronounce all the names. But in Nehemiah chapter 11 and chapter 12, verse 8, we find that there's a whole list of priests that are set aside, and they're all named there by Nehemiah. Remember Nehemiah and Ezra, both of those love giving Hebrew names again. And so they give a whole list of names that are priests that are specifically in charge of the thanksgiving in the temple. And then he goes in chapter 8 and he lists them again and says, okay, this is their charge. They are in charge of thanksgiving. And so rather than turn you to those verses, I'd have you understand this, that, hey, you and I are now God's priests. We are priests and kings. Not that we put our collar on backwards, not that we intercede for others, but that we again go into His presence on a regular basis. And again, we ought to have in our life, our charge, a responsibility of thanksgiving as priests before God. As again we approach into His presence and stand in the holy of holy place, we need to have that. Then two more, 11 and 12. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. I think it's 2 Corinthians. I can't tell my ones and twos well because sometimes I do Roman numerals. And so I got 2 Corinthians 4:15. Is that what you got, Chris? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. And let's pick it up in verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. Let me read that again. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. It's good to give thanks by yourself, but it's good to give the thanksgiving of many here. And notice again that it rebounds to the glory of God. People are watching your life. People are watching your home. People are watching the circumstance that you go through. And boy, when they see a testimony of thanksgiving that's perpetual in your heart, in your life, in your testimony, it may rebound to the glory of God. One more, chapter 9, same book, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 11. I think we got to pick this up in verse 8 and include verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look with me at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You should have written in the margin of your Bible that that was preached by Harold Boyd. If you didn't know Harold Boyd and you've come after Harold Boyd, touch Good Samaritan Baptist Church, then write it in your Bible anyway. It's in ours again. That was the verse that Harold Boyd said. This one verse changed Harold Boyd more than any other of the 117,000 verses again. This verse right here is the one that changed Harold Boyd. Let me read it again. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I'm going to skip the parentheses and jump right down to verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Boy, again, if there's ever a people that had all bountifulness, we right here do. I'd mentioned I've been to Corfu, Haiti, and I've been to several places in Peru. And one thing, when I come back to the States, I realize again how much we have and how little they have, and how, I don't know how to say this, how lazy we are in our thanksgiving. If you've never traveled to a third world country, boy, understand that it will change your heart to realize again. When we was down at Haiti, there was a guy, and it's just like in Bible times. We're standing on the roof of the house where we stayed, and you could look out And whoever had the highest roof, again, was the richest people. And we could stand on a roof and look out over almost all the village. There's a few higher than ours, again, but you could look out over the whole village. And down in the back, again, was a guy who was up at first light. He had no electricity. He was up at first light with a hammer and a chisel and an old car. And he would take that hammer and chisel and he would chisel out pieces of metal out of an old car body. And then he would make rivets out of the same old car body and rivet them together and make charcoal grills and sell them on the street. So his wife was out selling charcoal grills on the street. He was back there all day long going tink, 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 tink with that hammer and chisel. Every day we was there. We was there for what, 10 days? Every day we was there, he was back there tinking out. He was a thankful individual. He just praised. Every time he tinked, he thanked. Again, I think it was that way anyway. So, just the testimony, just the stories we could tell about being in a third world country and seeing a people who just had nothing and were just scratching out a living. But boy, they had a thanks, they had a praise. When we was there for one of the worship services, they came and most of them had walked for an hour, hour and a half to get to where the service was. Again, we were on the roof and we were preaching across the streets, across the park and across the street to about 1,000 people. And I asked the preacher how long I should preach. And he said, well, we got 3 preachers here, so I wouldn't expect that you would preach any more than an hour and a half. Those people stood there all night. They walked for an hour and a half to get there, and they stood in the streets for 5 hours they were there at least for that worship service. And my heart was broken to see again the thankfulness of the people just to hear the Word of God to preach. Just again to give thanks to God. And to hear that whole city block just break into song moves my soul again, even to this day, to understand that people who have nothing are thankful. But sometimes we who have everything, who have every convenience, who have every utility, who have every dishwasher, everything that we have, and we've lost our thankfulness. Hey, don't let that happen to you. Boy, let's be a thankful people. And here we find again that those that have everything, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, there we are, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Let's be a thankful people this week. We have much to give thanks for. And don't let just Thanksgiving be a holiday or a vacation. Let it be a time of thanksgiving. Praise the Lord that we're in a country that has a national day of thanksgiving. Let's go ahead and use it to full advantage and give thanks. Father, how I praise you. Thank you again that we could worship on this day. And as we walk into this week, I ask again that you'd be with these 12 verses that we looked at and speak again very frankly about our need of thanksgiving. And Father, I pray again that you'd make us a thankful people in every aspect of our week. Father, in our life, in the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. Let's stand. Let's just sing a chorus again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And let's sing it with a new thankfulness after we've looked at 12 seasons of thanksgiving from God's Word. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. We're going to close in prayer, and as we do that, let me encourage you again, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, if you've never called upon Him, if you've never made Him your King of your life, the Redeemer of your soul, right now as we'd close this service in prayer, I'd encourage you to talk to Him and make Him your Lord. Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved here today. The Bible says, again, except ye be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You can be born again here, just in a prayer to God today. Bible says, except ye be converted, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You can be converted to Christ here in this service just by calling on the Lord Jesus Christ and asking Him to be your Savior and receiving Him. As I would close in prayer, maybe you'd make that your prayer. If you do, boy, be sure and tell somebody before you leave the service here today. We'll rejoice with you. Father, praise you. I thank you again, Father, for the salvation that's full and free through your only begotten Son. Thank you again, Father, that we could marvel at the thanksgiving that's found in this book. And I pray, Father, especially that you'd be with anyone here that doesn't know for sure of their relationship with you, cannot approach you in perfect innocency because of sin, Father, that you'd touch them, tug on their heart. May they not be able to pillow their head tonight, but what they've called upon you as Lord and Savior of their soul and Redeemer of their sin. And Father, we'll praise you and thank you for that touch today. But I pray again also that you'd touch some of us old crusty Christians that have been around for a while. May we not lose the ability to praise your name in everything, to be a thankful people. And Father, may it just spill out of our lives as we'd walk through this week and every avenue of our business and every attitude of our family and home. Father, I pray again that your thanksgiving would be all over each life that's here. We'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. Amen. All right, Lord bless you. Let's go to the house.